we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides. There's a green sheet in there that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you, how God is calling you to respond so that we can pray for you and support you in the journey. In this series, we've been taking some intentional time for prayerful reflection moments. And as we get our hearts ready to hear God's word, we're going to take some time to pray. And here's your guidance. I invite you to think back over this day or over your weekend and just reflect on it with God. Think about the good, the bad, the in-between. And as those thoughts come, talk with God about them. I invite you to take a moment to pray with God. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. In preparation for Easter, our church is focusing on Jesus, so we can better understand him and become more like him. Five words are guiding our journey, and our key word for today is light. During the dreary winter months, we gain a greater appreciation for light, don't we? This winter, it seems like we've had some really long stretches of dark, gloomy skies. All the gloom can really dampen our spirits. So when the sun finally does reemerge and the light breaks through the darkness, it comes as a welcome blessing. The word light is used in the Bible to describe Jesus. In fact, Jesus uses the word to describe himself. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." And at the very beginning of John's gospel, the author describes Jesus like this: life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The light of Jesus is an incredible blessing. Sadly, his light is not always welcomed. We see this in our scripture reading for today. We're picking up where we left off last week. And if you want to follow along in your Bible or Bible app, I invite you to turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. You might remember that Jesus was speaking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus visited Jesus at night because it was dark, and he thought that he could hide in the darkness. But you can't hide in the light of Jesus. I invite you to stand as you're able for our scripture reading today. It's from John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We give thanks to God for his word, and I invite you to be seated. Jesus is the light of heaven come into earth. Sadly, some people do not welcome his light. The reason they don't, Jesus explains, is because they don't really understand the light. Sometimes people don't want to come into the light for fear that it will expose things in their life that are not good, and that Jesus will judge and punish them. Maybe you've felt that way before. Maybe you're like, I don't want Jesus to get too close because I'm afraid of what he might see or what he might find or how Jesus will judge and punish me. But that's not why Jesus shines his light in our lives. The gospel reading said God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And those who understand this good news come into the light gladly. While I was preparing for this message, God brought to mind another verse of scripture that helped me understand the good news of God's light in a fresh way. The verse is Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is what? Is light." I think this is such a cool connection. Jesus shines his light into our lives so we can be light. Jesus used the analogy of a yoke to illustrate this good news. Now, he wasn't referring to an egg yolk. That's spelled Y-O-L-K. Here it's Y-O-K-E. A yoke is a piece of wood that joins two animals together so they could combine their strength to pull a load that ordinarily would be too heavy for one animal to carry on its own. Jesus invites us to be yoked with him. He shines a light on our burdens and baggage, not to condemn us, but to save us. You see, he's willing to take everything that weighs us down on himself so that we can experience his rest, freedom, strength, and life. Jesus shines his light into our lives so we can be light. This analogy of a yoke would have been meaningful and memorable for Jesus' original audience because a lot of them were involved in agricultural occupations. Since I'm guessing many of you have never used a yoke and probably never will, I want to illustrate this good news in a way that I hope will be meaningful and memorable for you. I have some friends with me today who are going to help act out a story. I first heard this story from our finance director, April Fecht. And I think it's a powerful illustration of our good news, that Jesus shines his light in our lives so we can be light. The story is called Trash Man. It was written by Max Lucado. And here is how it goes. The woman flops down on the bench and drops her trash bag between her feet. With elbows on knees and cheeks in hands, she stares at the sidewalk. Everything aches, back, legs, neck. Her shoulder is stiff and her hands raw, all because of the sack. Oh, to be rid of the garbage. The woman collects her jacket. A passing car drenches the sack and splashes her jeans, but she doesn't move. Too tired. Her memories of life without the trash are fuzzy. As a child, maybe. Her back was straighter, her walk quicker. Or was it a dream? She doesn't know for sure. A second car. This one stops and parks. A man steps out. She watches as his shoes sink in the slush. From the car, he pulls out a trash bag, lumpy with litter. He drapes it over his shoulders and curses the weight. His face seems young, younger than his stooped back. In moments, he's gone. Her gaze returns to the pavement. She never looks at her trash. Early on, she did, but what she saw repulsed her. So she kept the sack closed ever since. What else can she do? Give it to someone? All have their own. Here comes a young mother. With one hand, she leads a child. With the other, she drags her load, bumpy and heavy. Here comes an old man, face ravined with wrinkles. His trash sack is so long, it hits the back of his legs as he walks. He glances at the woman and tries to smile. What weight would he be carrying, she wonders, as he passes. Regrets. She turns to see who spoke. Beside her on the bench sits a man with kind eyes. Like hers, his jeans are mud-stained. Unlike hers, his shoulders are straight. She looks around for his trash but doesn't see it. He watches the old man disappear as he explains. As a young father, he worked many hours and neglected his family. His children don't love him. His sack is full of regrets. She doesn't respond, and when she doesn't, he does. And yours? Mine? She asks, looking at him. Shame. His voice is gentle, compassionate. She still doesn't speak, but neither does she turn away. Too many hours in the wrong arms. Last night, last year, shame. She stiffens, steeling herself against the scorn she has learned to expect, as if she needed more shame. Stop him, but how? She awaits her judgment, but it never comes. His voice is warm and his question honest. Will you give me your trash? Her head draws back. What can he mean? Give it to me tomorrow at the landfill. Will you bring it? He rubs a moist smudge from her cheek with his thumb and he stands. Friday, the landfill. Long after he leaves, she sits replaying the scene, retouching her cheek. His voice lingers, his invitation hovers. She tries to dismiss the words but can't. How could he know what he knew? And how could he know and still be so kind? The memory sits on the couch of her soul, an uninvited guest. That night's sleep brings her summer dreams. But when she wakes, the sky is dark. The clouds billowed, the street shadowed. At the foot of her bed lies the sack of trash. Hoisting it over her shoulders, she walks out of the apartment and down the stairs, onto the street, still slushy. It's Friday. For a time, she stands thinking, first wondering what he meant, and then if he really meant it. She sighs. With hope just barely outweighing hopelessness, she turns towards the edge of town. Others are walking in the same direction. The man beside her smells of alcohol. He slept many nights in his suit. A teenage girl walks a few feet ahead. The woman of shame hurries to catch up. The girl volunteers an answer before the question can be asked. Rage. Rage at my father, rage at my mother. I'm tired of anger. He said he'd take it. She motions to the sack. I'm going to give it to him. The woman nods and the two walk together. The landfill is tall with trash. Papers, broken brooms, old beds, rusty cars. By the time they reach the hill, the line to the top is long. Hundreds walk ahead of them, all wait in silence, stunned by what they hear. A scream, a pain-pierced roar that hangs in the air for moments, interrupted only by a groan. Then a scream again, his. As they draw nearer, they know why. He kneels before each, gesturing towards the sack, offering a request, then a prayer. May I have it, and may you never feel it again. Then he bows his head and lifts the sack, emptying its contents upon himself. The selfishness of the glutton, the bitterness of the angry, the possessiveness of the insecure. He feels what they felt. It's as if he lied or cheated or cursed his maker. Upon her turn, the woman pauses, hesitates. His eyes compel her to step forward. He reaches for her trash and takes it from her. You can't live with this, he explains. You weren't made to. With head bowed, he empties her shame upon his shoulders. Then looking towards the heavens with tear-flooded eyes, he screams, I'm sorry. But you did nothing, she cries. Still, he sobs as she sobbed into her pillow 100 nights. That's when she realizes that his cry is hers. Her shame is his. For the first step in a long time, she has no trash to carry. With the others, she stands at the base of the hill and watches as he is buried under a mound of misery. For some time, he moans. Then nothing, just silence. People sit among the wrecked cars and papers, discarded stoves, and they wonder who this man is and what he has done. Like mourners at a wake, they linger. Some share stories, others say nothing. All cast occasional glances at the landfill. It feels odd loitering near the heap, but it feels even stranger to think of leaving. So they stay. Through the night, into the next day, darkness comes. A kinship connects them, a kinship through the trash man. Some doze by early morning, most are asleep. They almost miss the moment. It's the young girl who sees it. The girl with the rage. She doesn't trust her eyes at first, but when she looks again, she knows. Her words are soft, intended for no one. He's standing. Then aloud for her friend, he's standing. And louder for all, he's standing. She turns, all turn, and they see him silhouetted against the golden sun, standing indeed. We have a hand for our actors. There's a credit card commercial out that asks the question, what's in your wallet? Have you seen that? I have a slightly different question for you today. What's in your bag? What are the burdens and baggage that you're carrying around that is weighing you down? I asked the students who helped with our drama what the burdens and baggage of teens are. Here's what they said. Regrets, school, anxiety, fear, stress, relationship struggles, peer pressure, family problems, friend trouble, drugs, loneliness, and depression. That's heavy stuff. The trash man story suggests some other potentials: shame, rage, bitterness, possessiveness. And we could just keep adding to this list, right? I mean, hurts, abuse, addictions, illness, divorce, grief, concern for children or family members, excessive demands, worry, the pressure to provide, challenges with health, finances, work, and on and on and on. What's in your bag? But here's the good news. Jesus shines his light in our lives so we can be light. He shines a light on the burdens and baggage, not to condemn us, but to save us. You see, we have a Savior who's willing to take everything that weighs us down on himself so we can experience his rest, freedom, strength, and life. Jesus is the only one who can take our bag because he's the only one who doesn't have one. When Jesus came to earth, he lived a sinless life so that on the cross, he could take all of our sin on himself and offer us the free gifts of God's forgiveness and new life. He suffered death so he could defeat it and offer all who believe the hope of resurrection power. And what's more than that, our risen Savior stands ready to help us with anything that is weighing us down in our life. He invites us to take his yoke upon ourselves so that he can help carry our burdens and guide us through the challenges of life. If that sounds like good news to anyone, would you say amen? Amen. So how do we take Jesus' yoke on us? Well, I think it starts by giving Jesus our load. In prayer, we ask Jesus to take our burdens and baggage. In prayer, we ask Jesus to help us with the things that are weighing us down. I know sometimes that's hard to do. Nobody wants to be a burden to somebody else. Often we grow accustomed, maybe even comfortable, with the bags that we carry. And maybe sometimes we just feel like, hey, I should be able to handle this on my own. But we were not meant to live weary and heavy laden. We have a Savior who's willing to take everything that weighs us down on himself so we can experience his rest, freedom, strength, and life. So give Jesus your load. And then second, stay yoked to Jesus. A yoke connected two animals so they were inseparable. Jesus invites us to stay connected with him. We can do that through worship, through Bible reading, through prayer, through serving, through Christian community. Because the longer we go apart from God, the farther we drift, the heavier the load gets. But the more we stay connected to Jesus, the more he can help us carry our burdens and guide us through the challenges of life. I wanted to share with you a few examples from my life of how I've experienced this good news. Two from the past, two from the present. There have been two times in my life where I've literally felt God lift my burdens and baggage. The first time was when I openly and honestly confessed my sin to God. Although I grew up as a Christian, there was a period of my life where I drifted far away from God. I did things that I was so ashamed of. And I got stuck in addictive behaviors that I couldn't break free from. Rather than deal with it, I covered it up. And I lived life in fear that other people would find out. But God just kept shining his light into my life until finally I realized I couldn't keep hiding. I didn't want to keep hiding. And so I confessed openly and honestly my sin to God. And I asked him to forgive my sin and help me to change. And that was the beginning of what's been a long journey of healing, recovery, transformation. But in that moment, literally, it felt like God lifted a heavy weight off of my chest. and set me free. The second time that I experienced that feeling was with my dad. After my parents' divorce, I carried around a lot of bitterness towards my dad. So angry, and I didn't want to let it go. But that bitterness was robbing me of peace and weighing me down like a lead jacket. God worked on my heart. And finally, the tipping point was a small group study that we did on forgiveness. And with God's help, I offered my dad forgiveness. Again, it was a start of a long journey of reconciliation. But in that moment, it literally felt like God lifted this heavy weight off of my chest and set me free. Now, my experiences have not always been so immediate. More often, they're an ongoing process. I'll give you two examples of that. The first is with my job as a pastor. I know there's a lot of tough jobs, and the job of a pastor can sometimes feel like a really heavy load. There are so many responsibilities, so many pressures, so many expectations. The work is never done. No matter how much you do, there's always more that you could do. I went to a pastor's conference a while back, and they read the scripture from Matthew where Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I'll confess, I kind of chuckled sarcastically to myself, like, yeah, right. But the message convicted me. The speaker said, if you feel like Jesus' yoke is heavy, it's probably because you're carrying something you're not supposed to be carrying. Or you're trying to carry it all on your own shoulders. Oh, I realized that I was carrying my own yoke, not Jesus' yoke. I was relying on my own strength, not Jesus' strength. That was a turning point for me. My morning time with God is an essential way that I take Jesus' yoke on myself. The first thing I do every morning is read the Bible, journal, and pray. And often I'll visualize just handing over my burdens and baggage to Jesus. And I ask him to empower me and carry me through my day. When I miss those moments, and I do, it doesn't take long for the pressures of life to weigh me down. But when I take that time, I feel so much lighter and better equipped for my day. The second ongoing example is with my skin cancer. Several of you know I've been dealing with skin cancer. Recently, I added it up. I've been dealing with this for 20 years. Sometimes it feels really heavy. But God keeps reminding me that I don't have to carry this load by myself. That I can lean into God, that I can lean into my faith community for support. And it's true. I want you to know that the prayers and encouragement that I've received from this church really have lightened my load and lifted my spirits. And so to each of you who've done that, I just want to say thank you. And that brings me to one last thing that I want to show you about light. If you want to be like Jesus, here it is. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says to his followers, the people who receive his light, he said, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see, don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Don't miss this. Jesus shines his light in our lives so that we can be light. Not just be light ourselves, but be light for others. He sends us out to shine his light in the darkness. He sends us out to help carry one another's burdens. He sends us out to point people to the one true Savior in whom we can find rest, freedom, strength, and life. Jesus shines his light in our lives so we can be light. Over the past few weeks, I've seen the light of Jesus shining brightly through his people. On social media, I've seen pictures and videos of our Africa mission team shining the light of Jesus brightly in Cheryl's children's home. A little bit closer to home, last week there was a prayer gathering at North Central College. In the wake of yet another tragic teen suicide, adults and teens from our community gathered together to pray for the students, administration, and faculty of Naperville North High School. And while there were many tears shed at that gathering, these prayer warriors were shining the light of Jesus into the darkness. They were leaning on God and one another for support. I'm encouraged that Good Shepherd is partnering with the Naperville Police and other community organizations to affect change in some of these issues that are plaguing our community, like addiction, suicide, and mental health, shining a light. This past week, my neighbor told me that a dear friend of his died. You may not know this, but we have a prayer shawl ministry at our church so that we can give away prayer shawls to people who are going through difficult times. And even though my neighbor doesn't have a relationship with Jesus just yet, I was able to offer a prayer shawl, a tangible sign of God's love and light to my neighbor and his friend's family. Jesus shines his light in our lives so that we can be light. On your way out of service today, there's going to be a bowl that has matches in it. We invite you to take a match as a reminder to let Jesus' light shine in you and through you. But before we go, we wanted to remind you that you don't go alone. You have a Savior and a community of faith who is here to support you. There's such an incredible network of support in Good Shepherd. It's pastors, prayer team, Stephen ministers, mental health ministry. And along with communion today, you're going to have another option. This is optional, but along with the bread and the wine, you'll have a chance to have someone say a special blessing over you, anoint your head with oil, and speak God's words of life over you. And then after service, there's going to be some prayer team members available if you'd like to pray with someone. Some of the topics we covered today, they're heavy, but you don't have to carry this weight alone. As we get ready for communion, I have three questions for you to reflect on. Number one, what's in your bag? Number two, how can you give your load to Jesus and stay yoked to him? And three, how can you be light for others experiencing darkness? At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I'd love to support you on the journey. So if you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can place your response card in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. Let me give you some time with God and then lead us into the table.